When we last left our heroes, they were locked into a terribly important discussion. Let's drop in on them again as they plot the future. Now, from the Top Dog's Kennel in beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Terrence and Philip Show.
Well, thank you, Gary. Welcome to another episode of the Terrence and Philip Show. I'm Philip Hodgetts.
And I'm Terrence Curran.
And I think we should talk about recent changes at Avid.
Yes, Gary Greenfield is out as the CEO, and some new corporate political guy is coming in, it appears.
We've talked about this before, and I don't think anyone can fault what the old leadership now at Avid is doing. It's just really that they are...
If you look at what Gary achieved, when he came in, nobody had confidence in the product.
No, you were like, they're going to be a server company in 3 years.
Exactly, exactly. And he managed to at least stop or slow the descent, if nothing else. The big thing is he got the user base involved again.
Yes, and got the user base on side with the company, which
it was
an odd situation. People loved the product and hated the company.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it was a hugely political issue because I don't think, you know, the board decided that Gary couldn't deliver the results and then somebody else is going to go in. But nobody can deliver the results that they're looking for, which is a turn back of time to when they were the only real game in town for the professional market.
Yeah,
you know, that high-end exactly. Hollywood market. And they are still the game that counts for that market, to my mind.
Well, and it's also the hardware. I mean, there was a time when they could make money off of the hardware, and they can't do that anymore.
No.
And that's a big problem for them.
And I think, again, Gary has, and I guess the rest of the management team as well, but transitioned Avid from that high-margin, hardware-based company into something that is much more modern, that is more services-based. They've refreshed the software in that period of time, brought it up onto a much more modern code base, which is an essential step to whatever they need to do in the future.
Right.
So from my perspective, I can't see why somebody was, I would say, encouraged to resign. I don't know that anybody can make it. I don't think changing the head... Is anything more than symbolic?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that, and especially who they changed it to. Maybe if they found, you know, the next Steve Jobs, there would be a chance. But changing from Gary to this other guy is not, you know, who I haven't met yet, so I'm casting judgment before I should, I suppose. But, you know, I'm looking at where he comes from, his experiences being on the Avid board for 5 years.
Yeah.
That doesn't really instill confidence in me. That means it's almost like somebody backseat quarterbacking or something.
It's not going to change anything. It's not changing the way the company needs to move. And I don't know that they can do more than they've done. I mean, they've trimmed off the stuff that wasn't helping their main focus. They've trimmed down staff to the point where it probably can't be trimmed much more without somehow affecting the service level from the company
or the
pace of development.
There's some areas that they could, but they would have to be super innovative. And
yeah.
That's what is not happening there. Whether it's because they don't have the resources to do it, or they don't have the foresight to do it, or they don't have the right people in place to do it, I don't know, but it's just not happening.
I'd love to look at the rate of filing of patents from Avid.
Oh, yeah.
Over its entire lifetime.
Oh, that would be interesting, yeah.
Because my gut feeling is that there are a lot more filed early in its life than have been in the later in life. Because there's been some amazing innovations in their script sync.
Oh, yeah.
Before they added the Nexidia technology to that. It was a great idea, very innovative. I think it's a great idea still.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, they also, a lot of those patents were purchases.
As is almost everyone's portfolio. I mean, how much of Adobe's patents were developed within the Adobe brand when the idea first struck? Well, half of them were developed out of Macromedia to start with.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Well, After Effects comes from COSA via an oldest purchase, and that's where PageMaker and along the way Go Live was also a purchase. That was a web authoring package.
Oh, that's
Photoshop was
what?
A purchase. Actually, Adobe acquired Dreamweaver when they acquired Macromedia, and they've considered that the stronger product, and it probably was. Mm-hmm. And so they let their own go live, which was a purchase from a Swedish company. Pretty much every one of the major apps was a purchase somewhere along the line. Premiere was a purchase.
Okay.
They were developing Hitchcock internally, as I recall, and they bought that. After Effects was a purchase, as I said. The audio Audacity... Their audio editing tool was a purchase of Cool Edit.
Now the color correction program.
Yes, B-Grade was a purchase. Yeah. So pretty much they've built out their suite, as indeed Apple did when they decided to go buy the technologies you need.
Yeah.
Oh, we need some titling. LiveType, thank you. You know, we need a compositing application. Well, Shake's, you know, looking available for a reasonable price.
We need color, Silicon Color.
Yeah. It's not unusual, very unusual for a company to develop all of its technologies in-house, particularly when you build a suite out like that in a short period of time.
So that's an interesting point, though. So why hasn't Avid bought those other technologies? Their version of a suite is they give you an OEM copy of Sorensen Squeeze. They don't own Sorensen. They give you Avid DVD, which is
Sonic.
Sonic, yeah. And Boris plugins, you know.
Yeah.
So everything is third-party, but they don't own it. You would think they should have done the same thing to build
out a suite of technologies. Oh, yeah. Apple bought two companies to get a DVD authoring program.
That's right.
Had to go twice on that one.
It's an interesting problem area for Avid.
The modern Premiere is an Adobe development because that was completely revamped into Premiere Pro. And, of course, the modern Final Cut is a completely in-house operation for Apple. So it seems that when companies remake something they bought, they make it in-house. But yes, it is a very interesting question. Is that why Avid haven't grown, or is it because Avid sees itself as a company for a particular type of customer, and that customer isn't a customer that wants to do all these other things? Typical Avid user would pass off color correction to you or somebody like you. They wouldn't be responsible for the audio mix. They wouldn't be responsible for the motion graphic design.
Well, that's changing to a degree. And then building up those areas, they would be ahead of the curve right now, or at least keeping up with the curve, which would be good for them.
Yes, I agree that becomes a limiting factor for them going forward because the type of customer that they currently have is being pushed into doing much more of the things that you need other tools for. So you end up pushing them into Adobe's world for After Effects.
Right.
Unless they feel like they can use Avid Effects, which is, you know, Boris Red, which is really powerful, but it doesn't have the level of third-party tutorial.
Right. It's not as widespread as
After Effects. Yeah, and it's a different mindset than most people are used to. It's great when you get used to it, and it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it is. I just call it, you know, it's After Effects in the editing program.
Yeah, it is, to a large degree. I mean, there are a lot of things, expressions and things in After Effects that you don't have, but you know, you got 3D extrusions and a lot of stuff Boris did first.
Right.
It's all spins and roundabouts. Everyone learns from everyone else and gets inspired and moves the whole industry forward. But it does suggest that Avid's last big purchase was the hardware control surfaces.
There's the storage company they bought, which also had the cloud server, which is obviously, you know, that's turned into a product for them. Not the product they thought it was going to be. It's a little bit different. If you look at the company, obviously they're focused still is the broadcasters, because that's where the big money is in selling them the networking and the storage and all that. So for them, that's where it is. And it's unfortunate that they haven't put more into our area that could be opened up wider. I mean, there's no reason that everybody can use Media Composer. They could sell Media Composer for $300 if they could get the level of distribution that Final Cut has. It's cross-platform, so you'd think it'd be easier. They'd have an easier time than Apple, presumably.
Yes, it's the media enterprise. It's the customer.
Yeah, exactly.
Avid are fairly upfront about that, is they want to sell you a lot of servers and a lot of services.
Right. But one of the things that Gary did was reach out heavily to us, the smaller, you know, non-network people and the film industry people, et cetera. So.
Well, that's where the growth is happening. If you're only focusing on that 26,500 people.
Yeah.
Or double or triple that are working very similarly, your growth potential is nothing because there's no real growth in that. That market is at most shrinking. People are expected to do more in less time and will continue to do so in the future. that's not going to stop.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is definitely a changing market. But here's an example. At the last Editor's Lounge, Dan Leventhal showed his Touch Edit program. He's billing it as the first professional editing application for the iPad.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, I will too, because it's the only one that carries metadata across.
Yeah.
So, you know, that... Mr. Metadata, you should be very happy about that concept.
Yes.
That kind of thing, Avid should be buying that from him and moving forward in that kind of direction because it's a great tool to integrate, and they could be the first people on the forefront of that concept.
And maybe have it integrate with something other than Final Cut Pro 10.
Exactly.
Although they are doing AAF support in a later
release. Yeah, they will, because Dan's an Avid editor. Yeah. So it obviously AAF must have been harder for his guys than XML.
Much.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we stay clear of working with any Avid. Not because we don't like it, not because we don't want to. It's just that AAF is too hard.
Okay.
Well, at least that's our perception. So. And perception is reality.
You know, I was nagging them years ago that they should be supporting XML. They should integrate it in. And if they'd started doing that back when I was begging them, they'd have it now. That's one of the long-running problems in the Avid culture, is that we know the better way to do it. Well, it may be the better way, but if they're the only people doing it and it doesn't integrate with the rest of the world, too bad.
Yes, no man is an island anymore.
Exactly.
One of the other things that I thought about earlier today was that for Avid, the more successful they are in the services business, the more successful they are at automating workflows based on metadata, which they have significant expertise in, then the smaller the opportunity they create for themselves, because the industry moves to hardware and fewer people and fewer seats of editing, lower storage requirements, and it starts to become, like, within a certain industry, a spiral.
Then you have to figure out a way to make money on the licensing or something. That's what they'll have to do.
The board is supposed to be where the leadership and vision comes from, and I don't see that in the Avid board.
No.
I think that's the problem I have.
Yeah, I agree.
And without that, without somebody saying, hey, next CEO, we need you to radically change the direction that, this company is going to go in. You've got 12, 18 months to do it. You'll probably need to purchase some technologies and move us forward in this brilliant direction that we've come at, possibly even suggested by the CEO. But the board is responsible for that vision, not the CEO.
Right.
If there was a failing in the last 5 years, it's been the board's failure of vision. They're not, as you said, they're not driving the company where the company needs to be driven.
So what do? They move one of their people into that position.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a winning move. As you said, we should not prejudge. The man has only just stepped into the position. But I don't think rearranging the deck chairs is going to stop the Titanic.
I have to agree with you wholeheartedly on that. They really do need a visionary in there who has a sense of the future of the industries that they're involved in or that they want to be involved in. I don't sense that at all.
Their installed base is probably way, way below any of the other NLEs when you really think about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know, maybe if you add Pro Tools and all that in, because I don't know how Pro Tools is pretty...
Pro Tools is pretty ubiquitous.
So if you look at it that way, you know, I don't know how deeply entrenched they are in the, you know, ISIS type systems all around. Obviously, that's big bucks for them.
Yeah, well, that's where the most of the money is. The editing software is, what, 12% of consolidated net revenue and shrinking year by year?
Basically going to be the giveaway, you know, to buy the other stuff. And that's why it's kind of interesting to watch. I would expect them, if they were really smart, to get into the hardware business at the level that Blackmagic and AJA are. You know?
Really?
So they make $500 a card, $400 a card or something like that. Well, times all of those ones out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see some synergies merging a Blackmagic business with the Avid's current business.
I can too. There's certainly been a line of a thread for a while now that, that I could see that happening.
It's not something that Blackmagic probably are actively looking at.
They'd have to have a fire sale price on the Avid thing to buy it.
It's just to say that Grant usually manages to buy at a fire sale price.
I don't think Avid's there yet.
No,
anywhere near that.
Not anywhere near that.
I think they have cash now, don't they? That was one of the things. Even though they're not really making a profit, at least they have cash on hand now.
They have a certain amount of cash on hand, but they're not making money long term. So
yeah.
And they've incurred a lot of charges with all of the redundancies and letting people go and moving facilities. There's a lot of cost in that too.
Presumably, they're a little more streamlined at this
Presumably.
Point.
Presumably.
You know, the other possibility is maybe their plan is to take the company private, which would be...
That would be another choice, yes. I mean, Mr. Dell is looking to do that with his company, so...
I'd probably want to buy Gary out to do something like that, I would assume.
I know, so the new guy's got a five-year contract. You can always have somebody voluntarily leave if you offer them enough money.
As we just saw. As several people have said online. How do I get a job where you give me $1 million to quit?
Yeah.
It was actually $2 million when you look at it. You know.
I wish Avid well because we've got a lot of friends that work there, mutual friends that work there, and there's certainly the technology fits an absolute need in the industry right now.
Yeah.
Nothing else is anywhere near it for collaborative workflow.
Right. That's where it would be difficult to replace. That's why I can't see it, you know, just disappearing.
I don't ever see a scenario where Avid just disappears. If the fire sale price is low enough, somebody can make profit with what they've got. If you don't have the overhead of having paid for all the R&D and the building out of everything and you just buy at a complete fire sale price, sure, you can make money on that.
You know, I don't know what goes on in those board meetings, but they really do need a Steve Jobs-level visionary in there, whether it's the CEO who has enough power or somebody on the board who has enough power, but they need that level of a visionary at this point. They're a tech company, I mean, and they're not leading.
No, no.
And that's death, ultimately, to a tech company. You know, if you're not innovating, you're going away eventually. It's just a matter of time.
Well, I'm trying to innovate at assisted editing, so if you'd like to automate your workflows with metadata, jump on over to assistededediting.com, and if you want to finish your project properly, you go to
Alpha Dogs, www.alphadogs.tv. Bring your show here. We'll make it look and sound better.
And if you're in LA, don't forget the Editor's Lounge is on the last Friday of most months.